Start. For the record, it's 10 a.m. on April 10th, 2012. We're in the Williams County Courthouse in Williston, North Dakota for the administrative hearing in the matter of the siting application of Basin Electric Power Cooperative. My name's Alan Hoberg. I'm the designated hearing officer for this matter with the Office of Administrative Hearings. I was designated by the Public Service Commission as the substantive hearing officer, and I'll talk a little bit more later about what exactly that means. I'll take appearances at this time, starting with the applicant, please.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Casey Jacobson, and I represent Basin Electric Power Cooperative.
Thank you. And who's with you at the table here?
Next to me is Darlene Steffen, my administrative assistant, and she will be assisting me with exhibits here today.
Thank you. Mr. Grumman, please.
Good morning, Your Honor. Mark Grumman, representing the North Dakota Public Service Commission. To my left is Chris Merle, also part of the North Dakota Public Service Commission. Perhaps this is the most opportune time to motion. Mr. Merle would like to answer or ask some of questions on his own, if that would be acceptable.
You have any concern about that, Ms. Jacobson?
No, no objections.
Granted. I'll grant that. There's no interveners of record in this matter, correct?
That's correct.
All right, and our court reporter today is Stephanie Smith. We discussed a little bit off the record who's all present, and I believe there's no members of the public present other than, it's Montrail, what again?
Montrail Williams Electric Cooperative.
Okay, so there's three people from Montrail Williams Electric Cooperative here, and everyone else is from Basin Electric, I believe. But I'll ask just for the record, is there any member of the public here that is in attendance and may wish to participate? I see no one. So, okay. Of course, members of the Public Service Commission are not present today because I'm the substantive hearing officer, which means that I'll be listening to the evidence today and issuing a recommended decision to the Public Service Commissioner. I'll issue recommended findings of facts, conclusions of law, and an order, and they'll issue the final order in regard to this matter. Just some background as to how we got here today. On January 20th of 2012, Basin Electric filed applications for a waiver of procedures and time schedules, a corridor certificate, and a route permit to authorize construction of approximately 2.1 miles of 230 kilovolt electric transmission line and approximately 1.6 miles of 345 kilovolt electric transmission line and associated facilities in Williams County, North Dakota, and that was shown on a map attached to the applications. Basin Electric requests the Commission to waive procedures and time schedules set forth in North Dakota Century Code Chapter 4922 and North Dakota Administrative Code Article 6906 to allow for a single consolidated application for corridor certificate and route permit, and to hold a combined hearing on the waiver request and application for a corridor certificate and route permit. I issued a notice of filing and notice of hearing on 3/9/12, scheduling today's public hearing. The issues to be considered today are, first, will the location, construction, and operation of the proposed facilities produce minimal adverse effects on the environment and upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota? Are the proposed facilities compatible with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources? Will the proposed facility locations minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continuing system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion? And finally, is it appropriate for the Commission to waive procedures and time schedules as requested, including the request for a single consolidated application for corridor certificate and route permit? Those are the issues, the only issues for the hearing today. I saw a couple people come in a minute ago. Are they with any of your members of the public? Okay, they're shaking their heads, yes. At the beginning of the hearing, I asked if there were any members of the public here, and then I asked also if those members of the public, well, there weren't any, wanted to give present information to the commission today. Are you just here viewing today? They're shaking their heads, yes. So there is an attendance sheet going around. I'd appreciate it if you would sign that. And you're certainly welcome to sit here and take in the hearing today. It is open to the public. The commission does encourage public participation to people that are interested in providing input, either for or against or neutral to the application, but it's fine to just sit there and listen and watch, too. If you change your mind and decide you want to present some information to the commission, please let me know that. So other than that, here's the hearing procedure we'll follow today. I'll call on the applicant. Well, actually, we've revised it a little bit. Ordinarily, I would call on the applicant first, and she's indicated that she's going to call two witnesses, but I'm taking Mr. Dale Haugen first because he has another commitment. So the order will be the opening statement by the applicant, then testimony by Mr. Haugen, then witnesses for Basin Electric, the two witnesses for Basin Electric. All of the witnesses will be subject to questioning by commission counsel and commission staff and perhaps myself, and then I'll allow such further questioning from Basin Electric or further information from the witness as they may wish to present. After we've completed the testimony of Mr. Haugen and the Basin Electric's case, I'll probably ask again if there's anyone who wishes to present information, public witnesses that may wish, maybe change their mind and wish to present information. If there is none, that'll complete the presentation of evidence. If there is public participation, I will allow Basin to present any additional information that they may wish to present. We won't be reaching a decision on this matter today. We'll review all of the evidence when we return to Bismarck, and we will likely schedule a work session at the Public Service Commission to consider proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law and a proposed order by Basin Electric and to discuss that and then issue a, as I said, a recommended decision, recommended findings of fact, conclusion of law, and order. Because it's a recommended decision, the Public Service Commission may accept, reject, or modify my recommendation when they issue their final decision. After the Commission issues its final decision, there may be appeal rights or other rights under the Administrative Agencies Practice Act, Chapter 2832 of the North Dakota Century Code, or under the Commission's rules, North Dakota Administrative Code, Article 6902. The burden of proof today is on the applicant to show by the greater weight of the evidence that it's entitled to a grant of the applications it is seeking and an issuance of a corridor certificate and a route permit. Any questions about the procedures today, Ms. Jacobson?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Grumman?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Then let's begin with your opening, please.
Great. Your Honor, Public Service Commission staff, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Casey Jacobson and I'm an attorney for Basin Electric Power Cooperative. On November 8th, 2011, Basin Electric submitted to the Public Service Commission a letter notifying the Commission of its intent to construct a 3.7-mile transmission line indicated as Segment A, 345/115 kV, Segment B, 230/115 kV, and Segment C, a 230 kV transmission line. Basin Electric also requested the Commission shorten the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and the filing of an application for a certificate of corridor compatibility. By motion dated December 7, 2011, the Commission acknowledged the letter of intent shortened the one-year waiting period between filing a letter of intent and a siting application to one day, assessed a filing fee of $15,000, and assigned the project case number PU-11-692. On January 20th, 2012, Basin Electric submitted its combined applications for a waiver of procedures and time schedule, certificate of corridor compatibility, and a route permit for the Williston Tie Transmission Project. On March 9th, 2012, the Public Service Commission issued a notice of hearing on Basin Electric's application. There are several unique aspects to this project. The first is that the project involves Montrell Williams Electric Cooperative as well as Basin Electric. Montrell Williams is a Class C member of Basin Electric. Dale Haugen, the manager of Montrell Williams, will testify regarding the extraordinary amount of load growth that their cooperative is experiencing due to oil and gas development in this part of the state. He'll also discuss the close working relationship between Montrell Williams and Basin Electric on the development of this project. Montrell Williams and Basin Electric recognized that the Western Area Power Administration substation outside of Williston was nearing its capacity and its limitation for expansion due to commercial development surrounding the Williston substation, and identified a need for an additional substation with close proximity to the Williston substation. In the fall of 2011, the Williams County Commission approved the issuance of zoning change and conditional use permit for the construction of the Judson substation. Further, Montrell Williams identified a need for the State Line Project, a 115 kV transmission line interconnecting into the Williston substation to serve the new One Oak gas processing plant, which is located north of Williston. Mr. Haugen will testify that it is critical that Montrell Williams State Line Transmission Project be commercial by October of 2012. After learning of this State Line Project by Montrell Williams, Basin Electric realized that an opportunity may exist to co-locate facilities in this congested area of the Williston substation, as Basin Electric also needed access to the Williston substation for its 345 Antelope Valley Station to Nesset transmission line project, which is expected to be commercial in 2016. As you will hear today, the opportunity to double circuit these needed transmission line minimizes adverse impacts to the environment and to landowners. While the Montrell Williams 115 line by itself is not subject to the Commission's jurisdiction, by virtue of the fact that it is double circuited with the 345/230 Basin Electric facilities, it will be impacted by the case. Today, the first witness will be Mr. Gary Christensen. He's the project manager for the Williston Tie Project. Mr. Christensen will testify that this project consists of three segments. Line segment A of the project is 345/115 double circuit transmission line that begins at the northernmost point of the project and travels south for 1.62 miles to the future Judson substation. All easements for this segment have been obtained. Line segment B of the project is a 230/115 double circuit transmission line, which is approximately 1.9 miles. All easements have been obtained for segment B. Segment C is a single circuit 230 kV transmission line, which is 0.2 miles, that runs north and south, interconnecting to the Williston substation. Mr. Christensen will testify that we have all but two easements for segment C of the Williston Tie Project. Mr. Christensen will also discuss the need for the project, a description of the transmission facilities and location of the proposed line, and Basin Electric's policies with respect to the Public Service Commission's policy criteria, and he will also address issues related to construction of the project. Mr. Christensen will testify that the proposed route manages adverse impacts, represents the orderly siting of transmission facilities, is an efficient use of resources, and why the proposed route is the only reasonable alternative. The second unique aspect of this project is that the corridor and route are one and the same. The second witness, Mr. Chris Miller, will testify that this was done because at the time of the determination that this project would be jurisdictional under the Siting Act, over 90% of the easements had been obtained. He will also discuss that because of the existing commercial industrial growth around the Williston substation, there are no reasonable alternatives other than the proposed route. The third unique aspect of this project is that at certain points, avoidance areas exceed more than 50% of the proposed corridor and route. Mr. Miller will testify that the proposed route contains no exclusion areas. However, Basin Electric has been advised of the planned future construction of an RV park just north of the Judson substation. You will hear that at this time there are no occupied residences within 500 feet of segment A of the project, but there may be so in the future, so Basin Electric obtained a waiver from the landowner. Mr. Miller will also testify that no avoidance or exclusion areas are found in the majority of segment B, but where the proposed route gets close to the Williston substation, there are 5 residences and 7 businesses located in segments B and C, that are located within 500 feet of the proposed route. Mr. Miller will testify that the five residences are owned by a commercial business and Basin Electric has been unable to date to obtain a waiver from them. Basin Electric respectively requests the commission to find that no reasonable alternative exists and that the proposed route be approved as described in the plan and profile submitted with the application in January of this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobson. All right, Mr. Haugen, you want to come up to the chair there, please? And I'll swear you in as a witness. Actually, this is for the benefit of you and the other two witnesses. That is, I'm required by law to tell all witnesses at administrative hearings that the maximum penalty for perjury in this state is a Class C felony, punishable by a maximum 5 years imprisonment, $5,000 fine, or both. And of course, perjury is essentially not telling the truth at a hearing such as this. Mr. Haugen, being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter being heard? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. So you're not getting questions from Ms. Jacobson. You're just going to give us a narrative, correct?
That is correct.
All right. Please proceed. Read slowly, though, if you're going to read, so make sure the court reporter gets it all.
My name is Dale Haugen. My business address is P.O. Box 1346, Williston, North Dakota, 58801. I am general manager of Montrell Williams Electric Cooperative. I am providing testimony on behalf of Montrell Williams Electric Cooperative in support of Basin Electric's building of the high voltage transmission line in the Williston area as a double circuit or joint right-of-ways. Montrell Williams Electric's loads have increased dramatically the last 3 year time period, gaining an average of 30+% and with year 2012 keeping the same trend. The major oil formations lie within our Montrail and Williams counties service area. This oil production requires electricity for oil pumpers, oil and gas pipelines, secondary recovery, support industry, and further homes for the workers. This accounts for our significant growth. Montrail Williams developed a load forecast of energy and demand for a period of 2011 through 2025, in accordance with Rural Utility Services, or RUS, guidelines. This judgmental forecast considered trends and future expectations, but reflect the experience and knowledge of the cooperative has of our service area. Montrail Williams's load is going to grow from our 2010 peak of 101 megawatts to a projected 644 megawatts in the year 2025. This is 5.8 times more load in the next 15 years. Basin Electric Power Cooperative would not be here today if it wasn't for Montrail Williams members' needs or requirements for electricity. The load pocket that has developed in western North Dakota and right here in and around Williston has got us struggling to serve the rapid load growth. In conclusion, yes, Montrail Williams needs a reliable transmission infrastructure in northwest North Dakota in order to achieve our members' customers' needs. But better yet is the working together to serve this region by coexisting the same right-of-way and the same electrical structures. The cooperative believes that the current proposal is the most appropriate for Montrail Williams members and its use of their land in a prudent manner. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Haugen. Ms. Jacobson, did you have any questions?
No questions, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. Mr. Gruen?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Morrow?
Just a quick question. So those numbers, that 644 megawatts, is that for Montrail Williams?
That is correct. That is just for Montrail Williams' load, projected load growth.
Okay. What's your kind of geographic?
We serve both the Montreal County and Williams County, otherwise from the state line border to just west of Berthold.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you. Mr. Haugen, could you do the project that you need without Basin Electric doing the portion, the ABC portions?
Pardon me?
Could you do just the 115 by itself?
That was the plan. We had purchased the Judson substation for a substation for Montreal Williams, and we have to obtain service from the Williston WAPA substation from there to our Judson in order to transform the electricity from 115 down to a usable voltage, and then also from the Judson substation out to the One Oak plant that was referred to earlier.
So the answer is yes.
Yes, we would be doing it on our own as a single structure circuit.
Okay. Any additional questions of Mr. Haugen?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Haugen.
Thank you.
All right, Ms. Jacobson, your first witness is Mr. Christensen?
Yes, but before my first witness, I would move to enter into evidence two exhibits, and the first is a certification relating to order provisions transmission facility siting that the Public Service Commission staff has requested us to sign, and the second exhibit is the application that was submitted to the Public Service Commission.
Is that in this? It's not in this one?
No, it is this. Were you provided a copy of the application?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yep. I don't know if I have the order provision thing though. Is that it there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't make copies for.
Okay. And this is the
application.
Okay. Did you need to see this, Mr.?
No, Your Honor.
Okay.
And I don't object.
Okay. All right. So Exhibit 1 will be the app. Did you say Exhibit 1 is the application?
Yes.
Okay. And Exhibit 2 is the certification relating to order provisions, transmission facility siting. I'll admit both of those exhibits. All right, please call your first witness.
Your Honor, procedural question. Were we going to have the court reporter mark the exhibits?
Yeah, we can do that. Usually I mark them, but
okay, it doesn't matter. We just so you know that we will have quite a few. So.
Oh, you have a lot more exhibits?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe these are the only two. I did see
this. We probably have about 10 other ones.
Okay, let's have her mark it then, please.
Your Honor, would it be all right if the... Okay. Your Honor, would it be all right if the witness testified right here? We have prepared testimony books, and I think it's easier for them to... go through these on a hard surface like the desk here.
And that's a mic right there?
I think.
Is that one working?
Yeah.
Okay. Stephanie, is that okay? Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, wonderful. My first witness is Mr. Gary Christensen.
Mr. Christensen, did you hear the admonition I gave in regard to perjury?
I did.
Being advised of the penalty for perjury, do you promise to tell the truth in this matter being heard? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. Ms. Jacobson, please.
Thank you. Mr. Christensen, please give us your name, business address, and your occupation.
My name is Gary Christensen. I'm employed as a civil engineer for Basin Electric Power Cooperative, 1717 East Interstate Avenue, Bismarck, North Dakota.
Please state your educational background and employment history.
I have a Bachelor of Science degree in Civil Engineering and am a registered engineer in the state of North Dakota. I have worked as a civil engineer at Basin Electric for 39 years.
What have been your responsibilities in connection with the Williston Tie Project?
I am the project manager. As project manager, I am responsible for coordination of all aspects of the project, including routing, right-of-way, engineering, permitting, and construction.
What is the purpose of your testimony at this proceeding?
The purpose of my testimony is to provide a description of Basin Electric Power Cooperative, a summary of the proposed project, need, description, and construction procedures for the project, and Basin Electric's position with respect to the PSC transmission facility corridor and route policy criteria.
Would you please describe Basin Electric?
Basin Electric is a regional wholesale electric generation and transmission cooperative organized under the laws of the state of North Dakota and headquartered in Bismarck, North Dakota. Basin Electric provides power to 134 member systems serving more than 2.8 million consumers in 9 states, including North Dakota. In this part of the state, Basin Electric provides power to its Class A member, Upper Missouri G&T Cooperative, who provides power to the local electric cooperative, Montrell Williams Electric Cooperative.
Mr. Christensen, I show you this exhibit. Could you please identify it?
Yes, it's a map depicting the proposed route.
Your Honor and staff, the exhibits for each witness can be found after the witness's testimony in the folder pockets.
Is this different than the map in Exhibit 1?
Exhibit 1 of the...
The application?
Yes.
It is, okay. So how are we going to mark this then? You've marked it here as Exhibit 1.
It's just Exhibit 1 after each witness's testimony, and Stephanie will mark it right now as Exhibit 3.
Okay. That's yeah. Right. Yeah.
Your Honor, I move for admission into evidence exhibit number 3, a map of the proposed route.
Any objection to that?
No, Your Honor.
All right, I'll admit exhibit 3.
Mr. Christensen, please describe the proposed Williston Tie Project.
The project can be divided into 3 segments. Line segment A of the project is a 345-115 double circuit transmission line traveling south for approximately 1.62 miles from a 345-115 kV transmission line structure located near the north edge of Section 15, Township 1454 North, Range 102 West, to the future Judson 345 kV substation, which is not part of the project. The right-of-way for this segment is 150 feet in width. All structures will be single-pole, self-supporting, galvanized steel structures with concrete foundations. Structures for the 345-115 kV segment will be taller, about 130 feet with similar span lengths. The structures will support conductors for each circuit in a vertical configuration on each side. Angle and dead-end structures will require a single pole for each circuit on the 345-115 kV segment. Each circuit will have an optical ground wire supported near the structure top for communication and lightning protection.
Mr. Christensen, I show you exhibit number 4. Can you please identify it?
It is a drawing of a typical 345-115 double circuit structure, which will be used for segment A.
Your Honor, I move for admission of exhibit 4.
Is this one different than that was in the application?
I believe this is found in the application, but this exhibit can be found after Gary's testimony. In the pocket.
Okay. Well, for purposes of reference, then, you don't really need 2, but I'll admit Exhibit 4.
Mr. Christensen, could you please describe segment B of the proposed route?
Transmission line segment B is a 230-115 kV double circuit transmission line, which is approximately 1.9 miles in length and will travel east from the Judson 345 kV substation to a 230-115 dead end structure located in section 24.
Mr. Christensen, I hand you a drawing which has been marked Exhibit 5, and could you identify it, please?
It is a drawing of a typical 230-115 double circuit structure, which will be used for Segment B.
Your Honor, I move for admission of Exhibit Number 5.
Any objection to Exhibit 5?
No, Your Honor.
I'll admit Exhibit 5.
Mr. Christensen, please describe Segment C of the proposed route.
Segment C begins at the point where the 115 kV separates from the 230-115 double circuit structure. A single circuit, single pole, 230 kV transmission line will turn north for about 0.2 miles, interconnecting to the western Williston substation. The right-of-way for this segment is 80 feet in width.
Mr. Christensen, I show you what the court reporter has marked as Exhibit 6 and can ask you to identify it, please.
This drawing is for a single circuit structure to be used for Segment C.
Your Honor, I would move for admission of Exhibit 6.
Any objection to Exhibit 6?
No, Your Honor.
I'll admit Exhibit 6. Mr. Christensen, I'm sorry I wasn't paying that close attention. Could you give me the length and the right-of-way width of B and C again, please?
B is 1.9 miles. It's a 100-foot right-of-way. And segment C is 0.2 miles and 80-foot right-of-way.
Thank you. Please continue, Ms. Jacobson.
Mr. Christensen, why is this line being double-circuited with Montrell Williams?
Last year, Basin Electric identified a need for a 345 kV line from the Antelope Valley Station to our Nested substation near Tioga, North Dakota. When discussing this project with Montrell Williams, they informed us of a 115 kV line project that Montrell Williams also needed to interconnect into the Williston substation. Montrell Williams was farther along in the development of their project and needed to commence construction in the spring of 2012. Available right-of-way was very limited because of commercial development. It just made sense to utilize the same right-of-way and minimize any impacts with one set of structures instead of two. After discussing these plans with the Public Service Commission staff, it was determined that segments A, B, and C would need to be sited per the energy conversion and transmission facility siting act because the design of the line is greater than 115.
Mr. Christensen, why is this line needed?
The August 2011 Basin Electric load forecast indicates an acceleration of growth in the northwestern North Dakota area that is mainly a result of the development related to the Bakken oil field. Much of the short-term load growth in this area is associated with provision of electrical service to support the rapid expansion of a number of the facilities for oil and natural gas production, as well as supporting the infrastructure and services. The proposed AVS to Charlie Creek to Judson to Nesset 345 kV transmission line will be a major electric power delivery path into western North Dakota and eastern Montana area when it is placed in service. The Judson substation will be electric power delivery substation associated with that project. The power will be transformed from the 345 kV operating voltage to 230 kV at Judson. The existing high voltage network in the Watford City, Williston, Tioga, and Minot areas is currently operated at 230 kV. Therefore, the Judson 345-230 kV substation will deliver power from the 345 kV high capacity transmission line into the existing 230 kV transmission network at Williston.
Mr. Christensen, when do you plan to start construction on this project?
We hope to begin construction as soon as we receive all permits, including the siting permit from the PSC. Segments A and B of this project need to be in service by the fall of this year to serve the large load of Montreal Williams. Construction begins on segment C in 2015.
What is the estimated cost of this project?
Basin Electric's share, which includes only the 230 and 345 kV circuits, will be near $4
million. What standards has Basin Electric adopted in designing this line?
The transmission line will be constructed according to standards of the Rural Utility Service, the National Electric Safety Code, the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers, the American Society of Civil Engineers, the American Institute of Steel Construction, and the American Concrete Institute. Basin Electric will comply with all applicable state, local, and county ordinances.
What is the minimum ground clearance provided?
A minimum of 26 feet for the 230 kV circuit and 30 feet for the 345 kV circuit will be provided at a maximum conductor temperature of 212 degrees Fahrenheit. At lower temperatures, the clearances will be greater.
Would you please describe the electric and magnetic fields created by a 230 kV and 345 kV transmission line?
Electric and magnetic fields, commonly referred to as EMF, are invisible lines of force that surround any electrical device. All power lines, electrical wiring, and electrical equipment produce electric and magnetic fields. Electric fields are produced by voltage. Magnetic fields will result from the flow of electricity through wires. Both types of fields decrease rapidly as the distance from the source increases. The electric field is shielded or weakened by common materials that conduct electricity, even materials that conduct electricity poorly, such as trees and buildings. Magnetic fields are more difficult to shield. Therefore, discussion and study of exposure to these fields is usually directed to magnetic fields. Directly below the centerline of a 230 kV and 345 kV power line, the mean magnetic field strength is about 58 milligauss. At 50 feet from the centerline, the field strength is about 20 milligauss, which is lower than the limits suggested by the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences. For comparison, the field strength 1 foot from a running hair dryer is 70 milligauss, and 1 foot from a can opener, it is 300 milligauss.
Will the electric or magnetic fields produced by the proposed Williston Tie project be harmful to human or animal health and safety?
No.
How much radio, television, and cell phone interference can be expected?
Interference with television and AM radio reception should not be noticeable beyond the edge of the right-of-way. The line will have no effect on FM radio or cell phone reception.
Are you aware of any actual or potential hazards to humans, animal life, or the environment posed by the transmission line?
Electrocution hazard is present under any transmission line where a person extends conductive objects close to the energized conductors. The primary hazard to wildlife is birds flying into a wire.
Is there an increased danger associated with lightning strikes near the transmission line?
The overhead ground wire will shield the conductors from direct hits by lightning. The current from each of the lightning strikes is diverted to the ground at the adjacent structures. When this current is discharged from the pole base to the surrounding ground, a step potential voltage will momentarily exist on the ground near the pole, presenting an electrocution hazard.
How many total landowners are crossed with the proposed line, and how many of those easements have been acquired?
We have 9 landowners along this proposed line and have signed easements with 7. All the easements have been obtained in segments A and B. Of the remaining 2 landowners on segment C, 1 is the Western Area Power Administration, who has indicated to us their willingness to sign an easement. The 1 remaining landowner represents 1.3% of the total easement area required.
Would you describe the construction procedures and workforce required for the construction of the proposed line?
The construction of the transmission line is done in a sequential manner, consisting of a series of small crews spread out over the length of the line. As one crew completes work in an area, the next crew enters and proceeds with the next construction activity. The construction activities for installation of a transmission line include structure staking, gate installation, foundation installation, structure hauling, structure framing, structure erection, conductor hauling, conductor installation, conductor clipping, and right-of-way cleanup. The various crews indicate a need of approximately 15 to 20 workers. The actual manpower needs vary from project to project, depending on the time constraints, contractor procedures, terrain, seasonal conditions, and other factors. After construction is complete, Basin Electric will complete a final inspection of the right-of-way to identify items which require corrective action. When corrections have been verified, the contractor will be released from further responsibility. The right-of-way division will then address the reclamation work as the disturbed construction areas require. A contractor specializing in right-of-way reclamation will be retained to break up compacted areas, fill in the ruts, and seed grasses in order to return the area to its original condition.
What housing provisions are required for this type of workforce?
The transmission line contractor to be utilized for this project has made provisions for housing his workers.
Do you plan to carry out construction on the proposed transmission line during what weather?
Crews will generally shut down to allow right-of-way to dry to the extent that will allow construction travel with minimal rutting. The construction contract will contain language to control and limit the contractor's activities whenever the right-of-way is likely to be damaged.
Will gates be closed in a satisfactory manner?
When crossing existing fence lines, Base Electric will install barbed wire gates with a 16-foot opening. Gates will be locked if required by property owner or tenants.
What is done with the spoil from any excavation which is required during construction of the line?
The spoils from all foundations will be spread at the structure site if approved by the landowner. Otherwise, it will be removed from the right-of-way.
Do any trees or shrubs need to be cleared to construct the Williston Tie project?
No.
What efforts has Basin Electric made to economize the costs of construction and operation of this project?
Basin Electric has an obligation to its member cooperatives to construct facilities at the least cost while maintaining reliability and safety. All materials and services are competitively bid by qualified suppliers. Basin Electric will combine purchases with other projects to take advantage of volume pricing. Basin Electric maintains its own facilities, minimizing the cost of contracted services.
Mr. Christensen, in my opening statement, I explained that avoidance areas encountered in the proposed route. That avoidance area concerns five residences within 500 feet of the proposed route and seven businesses. Pursuant to North Dakota Administrative Code 69-06-08-022, Basin Electric has requested that the Commission find that under the circumstances there is no reasonable alternative to this route as it concerns the five residences and seven businesses within 500 feet of the transmission facility proposed. Mr. Christensen, I hand you exhibit number 7, which the court reporter has marked, and ask you to please identify it.
This is a map showing the residences and businesses within the proposed route.
Your Honor, I move for admission of exhibit number 7.
Any objection to exhibit 7?
No, Your Honor.
I'll admit exhibit 7.
The Commission, in determining whether an avoidance area should be designated for a facility, must consider the following. 1, the proposed management of adverse impacts. 2, the orderly siting of facilities. 3, system reliability and integrity. 4, the effective use of resources. And 5, alternative routes. I am now going to ask you a series of questions relating to these factors. Mr. Christensen, please explain why, under these circumstances, there is no reasonable alternative to the route proposed by Basin Electric.
In answering this question, it is important to understand the background history. Montreal Williams Electric Cooperative will be the electrical service provider for the One Oak Gas Processing Facility. That service will originate from the existing Williston substation. Montreal Williams had already acquired an easement on the Westchem Agrochemicals, Inc. property, and Montreal Williams had also a verbal agreement with the landowner of Sections 15, 23, and 24 for a 50-foot wide easement across his property. With those easements, Montreal Williams had essentially acquired access into the Williston substation to serve their committed loads. Subsequently, Basin Electric system studies showed that to continue to provide system reliability and integrity in northwest North Dakota, a 345 kV line would be required into the Williston area. Additional energy had to be provided into the Williston substation to prevent voltage problems. Investigation of the area by Basin Electric land personnel showed no land was available to add a 345 kV yard adjacent to the existing Williston substation. A new substation site was selected in Section 23. This new substation would require a 230 kV line tie into the existing Williston 230 substation. Access into the existing 230 kV Williston substation proved to be very difficult. Commercial development had overtaken the area, and the predominant landowner had very specific ideas as to where a transmission line easement would be allowed. Since Montreal Williams had had easements and commitments in place for their 115 kV line, Basin Electric and Montreal Williams decided to utilize the same right-of-way for a double-circuit 230-115 kV and 345-115 kV lines. Double-circuiting both segments will provide a more efficient use of resources. One route instead of two routes would certainly minimize any adverse impact. Since alternative routes were simply not available, agreements were made with the landowner to increase the width of the right-of-way to accommodate the increased voltages. Given the circumstances surrounding the area, the aforementioned commercial development, and the location of existing transmission lines, no reasonable alternative exists.
Mr. Christensen, please discuss how the route proposed by Basin Electric manages potential adverse impacts.
All transmission lines have potential adverse impacts, mostly visual and safety related. The proposed line has been routed near quarter section lines, as well as off section line roads where possible. Transmission structures have been chosen which provide a more pleasing appearance. The transmission line will be designed and constructed according to all applicable engineering and safety codes and standards, thereby assuring safety to the public.
Please explain how this route represents the orderly siting of transmission facilities.
Available options were evaluated, although for this project, options were very limited. The landowner who owns most of the three sections involved had very specific requirements as to the transmission line location. Adjustments were made to accommodate adjacent landowners and to minimize any potential environmental impacts.
Please explain how this route results in the efficient use of resources.
From the onset, the agreement Montreal Williams had with the predominant landowner of this area for their 115 kV line played a critical part in the determination to utilize one easement for both the Montreal Williams 115 kV line as well as Basin Electric's planned 345 kV line and 230 kV tie into the Williston substation. The ability to utilize double circuit structures with longer span capabilities than what Montreal Williams would have chosen for the single circuit line has maximized benefits to all parties and minimized the resources required for both projects.
Please explain the route alternatives analyzed and rejected.
Mr. Chris Miller will be answering that question in more specificity in terms of what was evaluated with the work done through Western's environmental assessment. However, we did analyze the other routes in terms of engineering and construction constraints.
Mr. Christensen, what were those routes?
We did examine if it was possible to locate the proposed route farther south where segment B and C intersect to avoid some of the avoidance areas in that area that exist there. We determined that there was no suitable place for the route anywhere north of Highway 2 except for the current location, as there are setbacks from Highway 2 which prevent placement of a transmission line there. A permanent road easement, commercial development, and an existing transmission line covering 120 feet. Further, that would have impacted the location of the rest of the line, and the landowner who owns the land of the rest of the route would not have granted us an easement for the rest of the proposed project.
Mr. Christensen, you just testified of an existing transmission line covering 120 feet. Would it have been possible to co-locate the Williston Tie project within that existing easement?
No, it is not possible to be located within that easement, as Western already has two 115 kV lines, so there is no physical space for a location of any Basin Electric facilities.
Did Basin Electric consider routing the line straight east in Section 24, crossing over 141st Street and then interconnecting with the Wilson substation instead of the current proposed route, which travels southeast in Section 24?
No, additional land sales and commercial development were already occurring in that area of Section 24. The layout of future infrastructure, buildings, roads, etc., were not known. Furthermore, commercial development was already occurring on the east side of 141st Avenue Northwest, immediately north of the existing Williston substation. No obvious transmission line routes were seen. Further, the landowner who had the majority of this route was not in favor of that alternative.
Please explain any considerations or alternative routes with the Montreal Williams or Basin Electric that were considered, and why ultimately this route was the only reasonable alternative.
As stated previously, no reasonable alternative routes existed. The availability of a route that allowed for the double circuiting of the two transmission lines required was the primary reason the proposed route was chosen.
Mr. Christensen, is this route proposed by Basin Electric based solely on economic considerations?
No.
Mr. Christensen, the North Dakota Public Service Commission's transmission facility corridor and route policy criteria provide that the commission may give preference to an applicant that will maximize benefits that result from the adoption of certain policies and practices. I'm now going to ask you a series of questions regarding these policies and practices. What is Basin Electric's policy with respect to maximizing potential benefits through location and design of its facilities?
Basin Electric performs comprehensive transmission studies to identify facilities that are needed to ensure a reliable transmission system. The location and voltage of these facilities is determined by transmission planning experts to maximize the benefits of these lines.
Has Basin Electric involved local governmental entities and citizens in the planning process?
Basin Electric initiates and maintains close contact with all pertinent federal, state, and local agencies prior to construction of a facility. For this project, Basin Electric and our Montreal Williams had met with county commissions, zoning boards, and city organizations. We involved the public by conducting public scoping meetings, mailing information, and visiting landowners.
What type of commitment does Basin Electric have to North Dakota consumers regarding this project?
Basin Electric is contractually committed to meet all the additional power requirements above their allocation from Western Area Power Administration for the 14 North Dakota rural electric cooperatives that are its members. This project is needed to supply reliable power to northwestern North Dakota.
What is Basin Electric's policy regarding labor relations?
Basin Electric management has always maintained an equitable, fair, and harmonious relationship with labor. Basin Electric uses both union and non-union contractors.
What is Basin Electric's position on the monitoring of environmental impacts?
Basin Electric's policy is that environmental impacts should be monitored and steps taken to mitigate and alleviate those impacts which have adverse effects. The environmental assessment prepared by the Western Area Power Administration and the application to the PSC discusses expected impacts and mitigation measures proposed with respect to the project. Once a transmission line is completed, a continuing program of maintenance begins. Basin Electric will monitor the line and correct any problems for the life of the facilities.
What is the policy of Basin Electric regarding the use of existing and proposed rights-of-way and other existing proposed transmission facilities?
Basin Electric strives to avoid duplication of transmission facilities. We have agreements with Montana Dakota Utilities and Western Area Power Administration, which enable us to use facilities jointly. These agreements have resulted in economic savings to the consumers and the avoidance of unnecessary duplication of transmission lines and substations. Further, this line is being double-circuited to avoid duplication in this area.
Mr. Christensen, based on your knowledge of the Williston Tie Project, do you believe the location, construction, and operation of the proposed facilities produce minimal adverse effects on the environment upon the welfare of the citizens of North Dakota?
Yes.
Are the proposed facilities compatible with the environmental preservation and the efficient use of resources?
Yes.
Will the proposed facility locations minimize adverse human and environmental impact while ensuring continued system reliability and integrity and ensuring that energies are met energy needs are met and fulfilled in an orderly and timely fashion.
Yes.
Is it appropriate for the commission to waive procedures and time schedules as requested, including the request for a single consolidated application for a corridor certificate and route permit and the width of the corridor?
Yes.
Is it appropriate for the commission to designate the previously discussed avoidance area for this proposed facility?
Yes.
Does this complete your testimony?
Yes, it does.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobson. Mr. Grubman, do you have any questions?
I do, Your Honor. Thank you. Mr. Christensen, has an inventory been completed concerning sections A through C concerning tree and shrubs?
I think that might be addressed in the environmental analysis that Chris is going to give.
Okay.
To my knowledge, there's no trees or shrubs.
I'll defer my question then to the next witness. I have no further questions, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Marl?
I guess I can start with one. Why isn't the Judson substation a part of this application?
Maybe you can answer that, Chris.
No.
It's not required by the PSC to site a substation. And it will be a part later on. I mean, the AVS to NESA transmission line will be made, and an application will be made for that to the PSC next year, and then the Judson substation will be included
in that application.
Okay. I think I'm correct on that.
That's the 200 mile project.
Yes. Because okay. It will not be built until later.
Mm-hmm. And it's my understanding that this won't be energized at all these lines until that time.
That's right. We will string the wire for segment B, but segment C won't even be constructed until later.
But one segment was going to be energized in 2012, isn't that correct?
None of these segments will be energized until the 200 mile project is completed.
Okay.
The 115, of course, will be energized, but not the 230 or the 345.
Mr. Morrow?
You mentioned there's two waivers that are remaining. The western area, our administration is one of them, correct?
Two easements are remaining. Western has indicated they'll be signing that. And then there's one easement required from Patterson Land Services.
Right.
And they're located right in that area.
Right.
Patterson Land Services is the other one?
That's correct.
But they've not indicated that they're going to sign it?
We've had discussions with them. They're just holding back a bit, but we're going to be able to work with them. It's just hasn't happened in this time frame.
And you don't expect them to sign a waiver anytime soon?
That I don't know. They have felt it not necessary for them to sign that waiver, not quite understanding the need. I think it has to do with their belief that they assume some liabilities if they do.
And the next witness will be able to talk about other alternatives on a bigger scale.
That's right.
I have no further questions, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. I think I have a few. I think I understand why this project is being sought for approval before the 200-mile one, but if it wasn't for the Montreal part of it, shouldn't it have been the other way around, the 200-mile one?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, we even wondered whether we should be coming to you for a permit or not. these two lines are needing to have a PSC permission because they're 115, or 230 and 345. But in order to build it, we didn't want to be presumptuous and build structures up there and then come to you later for an application with the bigger project. So that's why they're being included right now, even though they will not be energized until the rest of the project is completed.
Well, what if for some reason the 200-mile project isn't built?
Well, that's a risk we take.
Okay. But you're hoping and assuming that it
will
be built.
Well, we hope so, given the conditions in northwest North Dakota, yes. Okay.
I was a little curious. You gave me the numbers for A, 1.62, and for B, 1.9, and for C, 0.2. But I saw some other different numbers before. Are those, I mean, one set of numbers I saw added up to 3.92 miles.
I think 3.7 roughly is the total.
Right, 3.66 or?
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose there was some rounding that went on in one point.
But that's the 1.62, the 1.9, and the 0.2, that's the correct one.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, you talked about the alternative routes for this that weren't really feasible, but there's really no alternative to not doing the project. I mean, the project needs to be done as far as electrical load, is that right?
Well, unless we get entrance into the Williston sub, the 200-mile line I talked about means nothing. We have to provide energy into the sub because many of the transmission lines that exit the Williston sub are already in place. So it really became obvious that we're going to have a difficult time getting into that substation. Development was already occurring. Ideally, we'd have liked to have added a substation adjacent to the existing sub. That would have negated the need for this line, but there was no land available. And so it was an iterative process where we found a substation site and then tried to find a place to build the tie between the two substations.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're asking us to find that there's no reasonable alternative to locating within 500 feet of 5 residences and 7 businesses, correct?
Correct.
I imagine you approached those people.
Well, when we were looking at the initial routing, there weren't that many residences. 4 trailers have been added. There was a house there, which we thought was an office, but subsequently found out that it in fact was occupied.
Because the numbers were different in the application, I think. Some of those residences are real recent, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Miller will be able to address that information a little bit more in detail.
Okay. Is it the reason that Montreal Williams Electric Cooperative is not a part of this application, that is strictly Basin's, is because they're also a member of Basin?
Well, and it's only a 115 kV line.
Yeah, I know they wouldn't have to be, but you've included it. Why isn't it a cooperative application? If you know.
I don't know.
Okay. They are a member of Basin.
They are a member,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let me understand your question again a little
bit.
Well,
it seems like there should have been two entities applying, Montreal, because...
But the 115 line is not jurisdictional.
I know it's not, but it's included in this project, isn't it?
I guess, yeah.
Okay. Did you say the Futures Judson substation, the land's already been purchased?
Correct.
Okay. And you have a waiver from the RV park person?
We do.
That's interesting. Okay. What's the compensation policy to the landowners? Is it for damage, soils, crops, and then is there a permanent easement too?
Yes, there's a permanent easement, right. But you're talking about right-of-way damages?
Yeah.
Well, that's determined after construction to see what the extent of damages are. We pay for crop damages and for repair.
And then there's a permanent easement, too.
There's a permit, yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I don't have any further questions. Ms. Jacobson, any further questions?
No, I don't have any, Your Honor.
Mr. Gruen?
No, Your Honor.
Mr. Morrow?
No, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Christensen. Let's take a 5-minute recess, or 5 or 10.